Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
We're here with the Hollywood Life podcast. I am podcasting out of my home today, and co-anchoring with me is Allie Stagnita, who is podcasting from her place in New York City. Right there, Allie?
Yes. Yep. I am good. I am here in New York City. First time being back since March.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, we're glad to have you back in New York City. And today we have a wonderful guest who I think a lot of you will know from her work in the very famous series, Frasier. And now she's got like the most kind of adorable and interesting new series that you can see on YouTube. And so without further ado, welcome Perry Gilpin.
Hello, Bonnie. Hello, Allie.
Hi, Perry.
Hi.
We're so happy to have you on.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for joining in our podcast today from your home in California. And so, listen, you've got this really fun series. It is so funny. It's called Old Guy. Why don't you tell us in your own words what Old Guy is about?
Well, Old Guy is about an old guy named Roger Martin, but he's Harry in the show. But it was made by these five ladies named Gabrielle and Ursula and Maria, and there's two more. I can't believe I just did that to myself and to them. And they Charity, and there's one more. And they the two that I have known for years and years are Maria and Ursula, and they all joined together and they've made several projects together. And they I was in a book club with them for years, and they'd tell us these hilarious stories about their parents, because their dad was like the head of psychology at SUNY Buffalo. Their mom is a writer. She's had several things published. And they come from sort of an intellectual background, academic background, but they were the craziest family and great story. So cut to-
Yeah, they're five sisters, right?
Five sisters, yes.
They have a brother, or it's just the five sisters?
Just the five girls.
Oh, that must have been
one is a professor at Tufts in Boston. You know, one lives in Ohio, two live here. One's an actress, one's a writer. They're all producers, and they do these projects together. And they're all very bright, and they're all very talented and creative. You know, and so they said when their dad retired from being a professor, he moved to LA to be close to his kids and his grandkids, and he started to audition and, you know, try to have his dream of being an actor come true. Yeah. So they were like, Perry, you can't believe it. Our dad is like auditioning for things all the time. He's on fire. He has gotten so many jobs. And they're all like, you know, adult diaper wearers or cadavers or, you know, skinny
cadavers.
Yeah. You know, because he's 80, you know, and he's the thing is, he's not 80 that with a long career, you know, aging with his career. He's starting out as an 80-year-old actor.
Well, fantastic for him. Good for him.
I agree. But they wrote this script, and they wrote it in with such a good for him. It's very good humored. It's very good natured, and it's very big hearted. But it's also super funny. They really capture this, our crazy industry, and the ageism in it, but also just the fact that it's a business, and business is business, you know, so they really do that well. And I play his agent, and I'm the business part.
Right. You're so funny, your character, because you're just like, you're sort of I guess what we imagine is a typical agent. You know, you're very direct, you're aggressive, you want to get the jobs in, and you don't mince words. And and it makes you so funny because you don't mince words.
She's found a way, you know, to communicate with her clients, and especially a new one, where, you know, it's almost like a mom and kids. It's almost just, it's like shorthand, here's how we're going to do it, you know. And, but at the same time, she does have a heart, but she's not creating the roles for him. She's just, you know, matching the role up with the job available and the actor available. So she's just the middleman in a lot of ways and can't really do much more about it. So she's trying to deliver news in a way that, you know, can make, try to make him happy with it. But, you know, being the voice of adult diapers isn't always going to make you happy. My mom had a very long running adult diaper commercial for years. She was a model and an actress and did commercials. And she had one that was like, it was for Depends. And when you, I guess when you get older, someone hugs you, you might pee a little. And so she was at a wedding getting hugged by a lot of people, but with confidence.
Oh, okay. In her commercial.
Yeah, in a commercial.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and he plays, like, he gets roles like senile man and
skinny man at the bar, and you know, there's so many. If you Google it, it's hilarious. If you IMDb Roger Barton and see the roles that he did, it's very funny, and it's exactly what this is about.
And I like that he sends him to get his photos done, like his portraits.
Yeah.
His first portrait, he's wearing a hospital gown, like he's in an old folks home.
Which cracked me up because, you know, they also, like, when he's going on his first audition, he says, is it for a banker? Is it for an adventurer? And it shows him, like, in these costumes, that, like, you know, Indiana Jones, or, you know, do I rule the town with an iron fist, you know? And he's got these dreams, and then, you know, it shows what the photographer puts him in, which is a hospital gown or, you know, diapers. But the thing about that is that's every actor, number one. And right. Also, these five women are dressing up their dad, you know, part. So, you know, you get to see them joyfully, you know, they adore their dad, and they're getting to see him have fun, and they're having fun with him, and they're kind of, you know, they're kind of taking the Mickey out of him a little bit too, which is so much fun. And he's just such a good sport.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's definitely a good sport. And now the woman who plays his wife, is that their mom? Is that the real life? Oh, it is his real life wife.
Really their mom. Funny and cute.
It's so cute. It's so sweet. And I love it when she says, I sold my script and you get to play the lead, you know, and it's just so adorable and wonderful. It's exactly what we all want for our parents, is for their dreams to come true.
Yeah. Well, and it's so feel good during this time too. You know, it's something fun to watch with the family that's going to make everyone laugh. When it comes to your character, I mean, you know, when you're just looking at like the character analysis of her, why do you think she took on this man as her client? Like, does she believe in him?
Yeah. I mean, I think she sees that he can make a lot of money. I think she sees that he can do a lot of jobs and that he's got a great look. And she says it. I love the way you look. I love everything about you. I love your story. I don't want to hear it. You know, she just sort of like, but she gets what she's got, and she wants to send him out, and she knows he'll do well.
Yeah. And it seems like he does. Now, is the full series up on YouTube? Do we have more episodes to come? Is there
there's six, and they're all up, and you could watch it all in like less than 25 minutes. You know, they're like 3 to 5 minutes long. It's a web series and it's kind of a new category for the Emmys. It's only about 4 years old. So that was one of the reasons why we did this in 2013. And sadly, Gabrielle and Roger have passed away since, which was one of the reasons why all five of them have been busy. They had kind of prolonged illnesses. So now that this category is there and they saw a window of really like just getting it out there, they decided to take advantage of that. So I was happy to join them because I am so proud of it. I just think you're right. It's light. It's the whole family can watch it, and we need it right now.
Yeah, absolutely. So even though it was filmed, a while ago, it's sort of like it's having a whole new life because of this new short, like the category of short comedy or drama that it's now a contender for in the Emmy, and you're a contender for outstanding actor in it. Well, I mean, listen, we have to hope that there's a heaven or, you know, second life, because Roger, the star, would be so excited that an Emmy.
I know he would be. I would know he would be very happy for his daughters. And also the message of the film, I mean, the message of the work is everything they're saying about how, you know, elderly people or people of a certain age are underrepresented, and maybe misrepresented too, because there's so much life and there's so much more to them than, you know, a hospital gown. And that's what that was his point. And that's such a beautiful thing to say. It's a great message to leave.
Yeah, I was going to say that as well. I mean, the message within here is still incredibly prevalent when it comes to just representation in media. And, you know, I know, I think that when The Wife came out, Glenn Close talked a lot about that as well, being kind of an older woman in a role like she was. And I think that it's definitely something that will, you know, hopefully this will bring some light to that, but also a learning experience too.
Well, the thing is too, is that when we think about ageism, we've talked about ageism a lot, especially for women in Hollywood. You know, it used to be that women would talk about, you can't get any roles over the age of 40, and then over the age of 50. And I think that there's definitely, I mean, I'm hopeful you're in the business, so maybe you disagree. I think that it seems like there are more roles for women over 40 and 50, but hey, like, that's a whole other next level of ageism that we don't think about, seniors.
Yeah, that's really what I liked about it. I don't even think they would have thought about it if their dad hadn't have gone and, you know, hadn't had this experience that they found so much humor in, and they got a real kick out of it, but it was also a surprise. And women do, I think there are a lot more roles for older women, and women of all ages is more what I mean. I mean, once women get past their 30s and then into their 40s and 50s, I think there's more, and I think there's more even in 60s, 70s and beyond. I do think women sort of go through this weird valley, you know, where they don't work for a while and then they start working again. And maybe it's the transition from being sort of an ingenue to being maybe more of a character actress. And I think sometimes, I was never an ingenue, ever. For 1 second was I ever an ingenue. So I've never felt that, but I do remember when Frasier ended and I started auditioning again, you know, I'd always auditioned for whatever, the woman, the one age. And then all of a sudden I'm like, oh, you don't want me for that part. You want me for the mom, or you want me for the different, you know, the aunt or whatever. It was funny, you know? And I'm like, of course I've been off the market for a long time.
But yeah, I mean, Frasier was a very long running series. How many years did that go?
11.
That's very long running.
And that's a long time to play one character. I mean, Jennifer Aniston just talked too about how she tried to escape Rachel Green for years and never wanted to talk about Friends because she was in and thought of in that role for so long.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it's a blessing. It can be a little bit of a curse maybe to your career, but the blessings outweigh it so much. You do have to fight, but then maybe it's finding that perfect role that takes you out of it. But that's kind of hard too. You know, I think Jennifer Aniston did do that though. I think that people do think of her as other characters besides Rachel. But Rachel's everybody's little sister, you know?
Yeah. Well, though the thing, I mean, it's probably, you know, again, bittersweet for her, is that now Friends is back, you know? it was back on TV, so she really couldn't escape it. Just when she thought she could.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, a big, big season of reboots and reunions. Have you, Perry, talked to anybody from Frasier? Have you guys thought about doing, you know, Seth Rudetsky is doing a lot of those reunions with Stars in the House and things like that.
We did one. We did one right in like the first week of lockdown, or maybe the second week. But it was really great because it was the first time. It was so, it's like how it taught me immediately how doable this is, because, you know, Jane was there, and then David was there, and then Kelsey was there, and then Dan Butler and Tom McGowan and Harriet and Bebe Neuwirth, everybody kind of came in and out, and they only had 6 boxes. So, you know, we'd have to move in and out, but it was like we were all together in a room. It was crazy. It was so great to see everybody. And there is lots of talk about a reunion, and I think that there is one in the works, and we'll see what happens. Oh. They get it where they want it to be before they, you know, start shooting. But in the meantime, Frasier is premiering on Peacock July 15th, all 11 seasons, which is the NBC On Demand.
Love that. So it's, you're back again. Like, you're
totally, it'll never
goes away.
Can't escape it.
It never goes away, and I don't want it to go away. That is not a complaint. I am very proud of that show, and I watch it when I see it on. I don't find it, you know, but if I see one on, I'll watch it. But my kids are huge Friends fans, for sure.
I think that something in, like, with the quarantine and everything, it's like comfort food to be able to see reunions of shows that you love. And then, of course, now to have it all come back. So I think it serves a very positive purpose in these times.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
Perry, where do you think Roz would be right now? You know, if Frasier were to pick up, where would you want to see her right now?
Well, you know, that's so interesting, because I think, you know, in your business, I know my dad was in radio and television, and it seemed like, you know, at once he was a DJ, he had a morning radio show in Philly, he went all over the country, then at one place he was a station manager, then he went back to Philadelphia, and he was a weatherman there, and he also, like, did the noon news, and he was still in radio. So it's like, it feels like people move around, and not necessarily, you know, it's not necessarily up or down. It's just sort of around, you know, and in different cities, you might go and try something new. And then you just gather all this experience and wisdom and knowledge about each facet of the job. So I think she definitely would not still be engineering a radio show, or if she was doing that again, she would have done a lot more other things in between. But I do think she would be in media. I think she would be doing something having to do with entertainment on the news side, or on the entertainment news side, as opposed to, I don't think she's producing, a sitcom or anything.
You should celebrate yourself every day. But some days, you should celebrate with jewelry. Whether you want to commemorate an unforgettable moment or just bring some added sparkle to your collection, Blue Nile can offer you expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com today and experience the ease and convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com.
But who knows?
That's right. I guess, well, we may get lucky enough to find out if all goes well.
Yeah.
Now, you have some other projects in the works. Do you want to tell us about those?
Yeah, I did a movie do you guys know who Siobhan Fallon Hogan is? She's an actress. She was on Saturday Night Live for a season. She's been in X-Men and Forrest Gump. You'll totally know her when you see her. And she wrote a movie, and I went and did it with her. It was called Frat Haze, but now it's called Rushed. And it's a really interesting, really well done movie about, you know, it's about being a mom of mainly boys as opposed to girls, but also, like, what can happen, you know, when your son just makes one mistake, you know, how things can go so wrong. But it's told from a mom's point of view. You really are moved. It's an incredibly moving film. And in February I did a movie called We Broke Up, and I worked with a director named Jeff Rosenberg, and it was with William Jackson Harper and Aya Cash and Sarah Bolger and Tony Cavallaro and many others. And we shot it all at Calamigas Ranch, which is right, like, between Malibu and Westlake, and it was beautiful, and it was like a weekend wedding, and it's really funny, warm, really well-written movie. So those two things are coming out.
And tell us a little more about Rushed, and about, like, what goes wrong, like, what kind of happens.
Well, there's a, you know, a frat hazing incident, and there's a death from it. Ooh. You know, and it's accidental, but a mom wants to find out how, you know, she's trying to deal with her own immeasurable grief, but she's also trying to figure out how to keep it from happening again. But it's not anti fraternities. It's more like, how do we make this a little safer, I guess, or how do you make this be a little bit less likely that someone could be this bad, mm-hmm. you know, and just kind of drawing attention to it, because Siobhan was and her husband both, who produced it with her, they're both, you know, were in sororities and fraternities, and they're not anti that, but they also feel like maybe there's some safer ways to do things.
Mm-hmm. And are you the mom?
No, I actually play. I play another mom of another son, and she goes and finds several people that several mothers that have lost their sons in that way, and talks to them.
I see.
Creates a conversation about it.
Yeah, I mean, you hear about it every year. Like, there was the Penn State death, and you know, when it comes to athletes, my brother is a college lacrosse player, and I know that my mom, you know, never worried about the things with me that she, you know, kept her up at night worrying could happen with him. And even just being involved in something, it's definitely touches a lot of households.
Yeah, that's exactly how Siobhan puts it. It's just mm-hmm. what it's like to be the mom of a son.
Yeah.
It's interesting because both of your projects are about like really interesting subjects. And I just feel like we're so in limbo right now. Like, they're a reminder that there is a whole other life out there, like, and issues that we're not, we can't experience right now. Do you feel like, do you know when these films are gonna actually, like, they'll come out? Have they been affected by what's going on?
Well, I think Rushed, I know with Rushed that you know, you might have an opportunity to see that pretty soon. And kind of in the timing of that is before we go back, I mean, before college kids reconvene, you know, maybe it's a perfect time to rethink some stuff, try some things, you know, maybe if it doesn't work, but you know, it's a good time to sort of start fresh. Right. Mm-hmm. I just thought of that with that question. And then, the other is just, it's about two couples, as two sisters each with their guys and how their relationships work out. And you know, I would imagine, don't you think, everyone keeps saying we're gonna have a baby boom, but I have a feeling we're gonna have more divorces than babies.
Yeah.
Not based on me. But you know what I mean? Maybe the same amount, because it's like it's you have to work out some stuff, right? Well, I'm telling you guys in New York, I mean, you know, but you know what I mean? Like, you have to go, all of a sudden you're like, why is that bothering me so much? And it's because I'm
quarantined.
I can't get out.
Right. I think it'll be very interesting to see, you know, what the aftermath of this situation is. When there's been big blackouts, there has been big baby booms after them. I'm not sure though about this, because I think on one hand, yeah, you're stuck inside and there's a lot less other entertainment going on. But on the other hand, I think people are concerned about getting pregnant right now with COVID.
Right. That's so true. I hadn't even thought about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yep. I guess we'll just find out soon enough. I mean, we've been here for 4 months.
But you know what I find is so interesting is that there was the flu that was in 1918.
Right.
And now all of these pictures of people in masks and how they dealt with it. Like, there was a picture I saw yesterday of everyone at a baseball game, like all these men at a baseball game with masks on. And it was mandatory there then at that point. And it's just so interesting, because I don't remember ever, I heard the words, I just never remember hearing about the epidemic. So it feels like this will pass and it will be a distant memory. And it's just something we it's an opportunity, I think, you know, in some ways. I don't mean to be too philosophical, because I know a lot of people are really, really, really like white knuckling it, like right now, like, what am I going to do? But there's just so much to be, there's things that can be learned from this.
Oh, absolutely.
Not agree more.
How old are your kids?
16. I have 16-year-old twins.
And so how have they handled it? I guess that they had to finish school, like finish the school year at home.
Yeah, they did. And they, I think it was kind of maybe the optimal age is what I keep saying, because they're not older. They're not seniors going, what, you know, I just bless their hearts. And I mean that for real. And juniors are so stressed out over all the other stuff that happens after high school. But 10th grade is, you're solidly in high school. So everything that happened to all of them, you know, and they, you know, they went online and did school. And one of the things that, one of them had a teacher that was a substitute teacher for a teacher that was on maternity leave. And so she, about a week before school ended, she said, please, can you have your kids get everything in? Because I want to grade things, get them back, because their regular teacher wants to come back for 1 week to finish out the school year with them, which is so great, you know. And I wrote her an email and I said, thank you. It must have been so hard to be a substitute this semester of all
time. Yeah, really. You know?
And she said, I've actually enjoyed myself very much, and I'm glad I got to do it, but I just feel so bad for the kids that don't have access to online learning.
Yeah.
You know, and I hadn't even thought of that yet, you know? So I want to see if we can get involved this summer in helping get that at least to kids, if we have to do that next fall.
Definitely.
Yeah. And it seems likely that at least for part of the school year, we will have to do that. Yeah. And you've been, like I said, you've been very active on your social media, and, are you involved in any particular organizations? Are there issues that you're particularly really out there that you want to talk about? Are you into voting? Like, what are you using your platforms for?
I can't help it. I can't help but, you know, I'm just so interested by politics. I've always been interested. You know, it's not like I'm seeking it out. It's just where I am seeking it out. It's not like it's just, I would anyway. But now voting, dear God, vote. But I was just involved with this voting, you know, in Texas. There's so many unregistered voters.
Yeah.
And so they're really, they turned Texas blue, this one for the Texas Democrats. They raised $1.5 million in a week. And with that money, they will reach out and get people registered. And when people are registered, then their polls get put there so that they can go and vote. And I think that there's, each state is different. And I remember moving here from Texas and being, oh, it's that easy to vote. I think that the vote, one form of voter suppression is just to make it so hard, right? So I think that's the case in many states, Texas being one of them. And, you know, please in Texas vote. If you're Texan, vote.
Please turn Texas blue.
Please turn Texas blue, yes.
That's so true. And that's so interesting that the organization is going to be very focused on getting unregistered voters registered.
Yes. And the censuses that we're all doing right now are super important too, because that they draw the voting, the districts by those censuses.
Right.
So if you're not counted and there's fewer people there, you might not get a poll anywhere near you. They're drawing those districts. So that's really important to get that in there.
Right. Yeah. And if you don't, if your community doesn't get, the people don't get counted, then you don't get enough money for your schools and for hospitals and roads and everything else.
That's right. That's right. Your whole community separate.
Yeah. It does seem like when I went on your Twitter and your Instagram that I can see your passion, and I can see, like, oh, that you're reading things and you're retweeting. Like, you're like, I can see you can't hold yourself back, which I think a lot of us feel that way right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I just can't, you know, and it's, and I feel like it's how we're learning so much more through social media and about politics and how things really work. I have been so educated through this process. The past few years I've learned a lot that I just did not know. And I think that would benefited a lot of people for us not to know so much, you know, so we've got to educate ourselves, but now's the time. It's never too late.
Absolutely. And there is still lots, there's still not lots of time, but there's still time to get registered to vote.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Please do that.
You can register to vote. Whoever's listening, you can register to vote on Hollywood Life through When We All Vote. If you go to the Rock the Vote tab, then you will get all the information there.
That's right. We have a, on our nav bar, we have a section called Rock the Vote. And if you click into any of our stories, we have a register to vote module right there. So you literally can register to vote on Hollywood Life.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, I'm Guy Raz, and on my show, Wisdom from the Top, I talk with CEOs and business leaders about the toughest challenges of their careers.
There's lots of ways to measure success.
Sometimes a company has to bet against itself.
We wanted to set ourselves apart by having a point of view.
Businesses really impact people's lives in pretty fundamental ways.
On Wisdom from the Top, some of the greatest business leaders of our time share their intimate stories of leadership, innovation, and transformation. Stories you won't hear anywhere else. Check out Wisdom from the Top only on Luminary. Now, back to your show.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
I love you guys. That's
amazing. Well, Perry, we love you too. And we love Old Guy. And I highly recommend it to everyone to just go on YouTube and just type in Old Guy and all of the episodes come up. They are so entertaining and they're very sweet. Like, they're just, you know, they have so much heart. And we wish you all the best in being a contender for Outstanding Actor in a Short for Comedy or Drama. And I'm sure the Emmys, you know, whether they're held in person or virtually, we will be covering them. So.
And we'll be rooting for you.
Yes.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Well, I hope I see you there.
Yes. Okay.
Thank you for taking the time to talk to us.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Thank you.